Hi there, and welcome to the One Pres Pod, a podcast for First Presbyterian Church in Fort Smith. On this podcast, we talk about all things related to faith and the life of followers of Jesus. Join us.
Welcome, everyone, for this next episode of the One Pres Pod. It's Reverend Tasha Blackburn here, and...
Phil Blackburn.
And we're doing this actually at our dining room table today, so it might sound a little bit different, but we wanted to make sure you got your fix for the week. Before we do, you know, I did want to update you, Phil, that or update our listeners, that I think we've entered one of your favorite days of the year, which is the day where you take away the Halloween decorations and you put up the Christmas.
Well, we just roll from one holiday into the next in the fall here.
I was
going to
say, our listeners want to know, they want to ask, too soon? Is it too soon?
It's subjective. You know, I mean, we have delegated Christmas to Hallmark, and Hallmark said that Christmas starts around the 26th of October. So, in my mind, you're in the window now.
So we're late.
We're late.
We're
actually late.
Well, no matter where you... I was earlier out at a shopping area. Mm-hmm. I won't name which one. But let me tell you, it was crowded like it was December.
That's right.
And so I guess we are late.
We are late.
It's all happening. I don't know where you are in your projects, everyone. And we don't mean to pile on anxiety.
Although if we're late, Tasha, that brings up the question of why bother? Like, we're just going to put it up and take it right back down.
Exactly.
You know, we might as well not even bother.
Don't. Okay, let's get to our topic for the day. All right, so we said last week we introduced a new topic and we gave everybody their new favorite word, I'm sure, which is apophatic, which is that we can, in many ways, get closer to God, closer to understanding who God is by saying the things God isn't.
Right. So to say that concisely and succinctly.
Do you not feel I just did?
Apophatic theology is theology of, it's the theology of not, right? It's
yeah.
The theology of God is not.
Yeah.
Apophatic.
Apophatic.
So when you make a negative statement about God, not a negative statement in the sense that God is lazy, that would be bad.
Yeah.
But in the statement of what God isn't, it's apophatic. So that's what we covered last week. If you need a review, go back and listen to that one.
Yeah.
If you haven't yet. So this week, we're on to what, Tasha?
Well, we're starting off with this basic statement, that God is not one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And for many of us of a certain era, us included,
yeah.
The very first thing you're going to think of is that Joan Osborne mm-hmm. song. I believe Lilith Fair was noted mm-hmm. last week. I got to pull my t-shirt out of the closet. But yes, Joan Osborne had a song back in the, what, 90s?
90s, late 90s,
where
early
she
2000s.
Talked about how, what if God was one of us, just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home, right? Very popular song.
Right.
I loved it. You loved it. I'm going to speak for you.
Right.
But.
Yeah.
There's a problem.
What's the problem?
God is not one of us.
God isn't one of us?
No.
Oh.
No. And, you know, one of the things to think about, and I know you're thinking Christmas here, people. See, we started to talk about Christmas, and we're going to get to that. We're going to get to incarnation, because that has everything to do with this, right? And I know you're screaming.
What is the incarnation, Tasha?
God sending his son, Jesus, into the world.
Yeah.
God sending a part of the Trinity into the world of his own self. Anyway, so then doesn't that mean God is one of us? If we have Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the big pitfalls there and why we would want to hold tight to God is not one of us is that slippery slope of like, if God is one of us, then that must mean he's like us, which must mean I understand him fully, mm-hmm. which must mean he likes what I like, which must mean I've created an idol.
Yep. That's pretty much where it goes, is to idolatry. I mean, that's the real danger here.
Yeah, I want a God who fits who I want God to be.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And so, like, one way to think about this is, in theological language, is the language of domestication. We think about, like, domestication around farm animals. This is not that.
Or our dog.
Or our dog.
Yes.
Right? But this is not taking something. It is. It's taking something wild and making it trained.
Yeah.
Right? So when you domesticate God, what you're doing there is you're taking something wild that you don't control.
Mysterious.
Uncontrollable.
Other.
You're taking that and you're turning it into something that you have full understanding of. And in that full understanding, you have control.
Mm-hmm. You can fence it.
That's right. You can fence it in. And that's the attraction.
You can only feed twice a day.
Right.
You know, things like that.
That's the attraction of domestication. Is the smaller and the narrower you make God, the more you make God like one of us, the more you limit and the more you create an idol. You're getting closer. If you're looking at a spectrum from like full fidelity to God to idolatry, and at one end is the golden calf and at the other end is like the burning bush. You're moving much closer.
This Sunday scripture passage, by the way, there's a plug. Okay, yes.
You're moving much closer to the golden calf when you get into this type of language, that God's like us.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing I would say is, okay, there's kind of three main things we think Jesus did and was and is, right? And one of them is this thing called a moral exemplar, right? That he is us, but just the best,
right?
The best version of humanity. And so that's what he came to do. He came to show us the best that humanity could be, what full humanity looks like, right? So, okay, that's great. And that fits into, well, he's one of us, just better.
Yeah.
But that's not, there's two others. And one is that he's the substitute, you know, the substitutionary thing. And this other is this whole thing that happens in the heavens, that's like he's this battler and warrior who's bringing down evil, capital E, in the entire cosmos, right? So there's this cosmos piece you cannot forget about. There's this substitutionary, somehow grace is literally changing our experience in the world and our relationship with God. And there's the moral exemplar. And if you just start saying God is like us, God is one of us, you're going to miss the other two.
Right.
You've stuck on the one. So it's not a complete picture.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think the domestication piece, the one of us piece, like if you're just doing these, like what we're talking about today is making sure that your understanding of God is vast.
Yeah.
And so that's where the apophatic language helps us. That constant reminder, no, God is not like me. I am not in any way, shape, or form like God, right? As soon as we start that domestication language, it's very easy for us to slip into this idea of basically deified people. It's the reason we Protestants and Presbyterians don't have official saints.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah.
This idea that there's not certain people that have this magical holiness about them that's close to the divine. Like there's not this, that's not a thing.
No, not on this side of the veil,
right?
Not on this side of the veil, right?
Yeah. Like that's a deal. So, you know, I mean, I think your point is good about that moral exemplar and the dangers of that type of theology.
It's great, but it's not complete.
It's not complete.
Yeah. Right? And I want to say something about, this idea of when we make God too small, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to decide that God is just what we want, you know, right? And I was telling you before we went online here that the chapter in the book we said we're stealing all of this from, by the way, talks about that moment, which I know is one of your favorite moments, in the Gospels, and Jesus has had this big feeding where he like made bread multiply. Everybody had their fill. It was great. And then like six verses later, he's talking about the yeast of the Pharisees, you know, and he's talking, so he's using bread language, but he's trying to move on. He's trying to teach them hard things, you know, and all they can think about is the bread they just ate. And Jesus says to them, which you have to think is said, funny. Jesus says to them, you know, I think all you know, I think what you want from me is more bread. I think that's what you want. You want a prophet who'll feed you when you're hungry. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. But that's not all I am. Mm-hmm. And they did it then, and we do it now. We don't, in God, we don't, to quote the old song, we don't get what we want. What we get is what we need. Mm-hmm. You know, God is not going to shapeshift mm-hmm. into what we think we want. Mm-hmm. We have got to have those compartments mm-hmm. and those fences explode.
Right. And it's about this danger. There's no conforming. There's no sense of change if what you think Jesus is the literal bread. It asks nothing of you.
Yeah.
When you think of Jesus as the bread of life, that asks a lot of you. Mm-hmm. Because it forces you to recognize that you don't just live with bread.
Uh-huh.
There's a broader life, a richer life, mm-hmm. a greater life with the bread of life. Mm-hmm. And again, you get away with that. You get away from that with domestication. It asks nothing of you. Mm-hmm. The more similar God is to one of us, the less we need to change.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I can modify just mm-hmm. a couple little tweaks and then I'm mm-hmm. good. No, there mm-hmm. is this divine mm-hmm. power mm-hmm. that says, again, to quote scripture, mm-hmm. my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not mm-hmm. your thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's not minor tweaks.
Right. Right. You know, I think, yes. And I think the Old Testament language that we've kind of gotten away from or misappropriated, that language around fear of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
What the Hebrews meant by that was awe. Mm-hmm. When you're in the presence of the Lord, you're in the presence of something completely other. Mm-hmm. And what we do with it is we either get rid of that because we want to domesticate it, or we turn it into a threat. Like, fear the Lord, Tasha. Fear him. Be afraid because of what he can do to you.
Yeah.
That's not it.
Yeah.
It's just like this idea of just the vastness, the mm-hmm. otherness. Like, I mean,
the mystery, right, the wonder. Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, if you've ever had this incredible view in nature, right? Like been up, like I remember backpacking back in seminary and I remember being up having this great view and I saw like what we were getting ready to walk through. And it was glorious. It was gorgeous and also utterly terrifying, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, there's mountains, there's forest, mm-hmm. you can't see the trail. Where are we going to sleep? What am I going to eat? And yet, mm-hmm. glorious. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you want to get kind of to that piece, you know, of awe.
Yeah.
And away from this. You know, the other thing, the chapter, as you were talking beforehand, talks a lot about the dangers of letting culture define mm-hmm. Jesus and God, the triune God for us. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that over the course of the coming weeks, by necessity with the other chapters.
Yeah.
But what I encourage people to pay attention to is what elements of your understanding of Scripture are amplified by the culture you live in, and what elements of Scripture that you're aware of and you understand are de-emphasized mm-hmm. by the culture you live in. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning of that conversation and that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and okay, so I promised we would get to Christmas.
Mm-hmm, let's go.
You know, because as Christians, mm-hmm. one of the shockers of Christianity, and one of the reasons Jewish people
don't like
refuse
us
to be Christian, is because we have the audacity to say mm-hmm. that God did become one of right. us, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so what in the world are we going to start preparing for here in December mm-hmm. during the season of Advent? If God isn't one of us, you know, what's happening with Jesus? And it's a yes and a no, mm-hmm. right? It's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. He does come among us, but to say we can't take Jesus and say that he can be everything as well. Like, he can be like me and he can be like you and he can be like
mm-hmm.
Bob, you know, who lives in Warsaw, Poland. Yeah. You know, no, by the very nature of the incarnation, God sent his son to be a particular human being in a particular time and place. I cannot ever place upon Jesus beliefs, teachings, a culture that is not what he rose out of. He will always be a Jew who lived in Israel 2,000 years ago. He is particular. Yeah. Because he's this thing, he can't be everything. Mm-hmm. And we have a danger of that in this, like, in this God is one of us kind of thing. That's the particular danger with Jesus. We do it with him all the time. And I think it's happening a lot. People, our listeners have probably heard the term spiritual but not religious, right? And I don't want to ding that right now. I really don't. But that is a big danger of spiritual but not religious. People say, oh, I love Jesus. I love him. But I don't love any, I don't love the church.
Right.
Well, Jesus loved the church.
Yeah.
So, like, let's meet who he was. He is this particular thing.
Right.
You can't make him everything.
Right. Yeah. And you can't make him everything. And all of us fall short. Of following him and fully embodying his message to us. You know, you take the Christmas story, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
Right? And we're uncomfortable. All of us are uncomfortable with some of it.
Yeah.
There's not a piece of it that all of us are like, yes, I fully am into that, all of it. I live, I follow that, I respond to that. None of us do that, much less with the whole gospel story. So, you know, you want to get to a point, I think, where Scripture is asking questions of you, your faith is asking questions of you, and your faith is causing you to expand your conception of yourself in response to and in relation to this thing that we call God.
Yeah. And I want to, before we say what next week's theme is going to be, because, oh, everybody's going to love it.
They're going to love it.
But I do want to say one more thing, because I think I want it to be comforting, because I think it is. One of the things about the Joan Osborne song, if you're humming it in your head, is, you know, he's the stranger on the bus trying to make his way home or whatever. That assumes that because God is one of us, he's also this passive power, passive being that doesn't have any power or chooses not to use it or whatever. And we don't believe that. We believe that not only does God have power, but God hasn't walked away and isn't lost somewhere on some bus that he didn't mean to get on. You know, like, we believe God is sovereign. And we don't want, let's not water that down.
Right.
Let's not water that down. God is not one of us. He's not on this crazy train that so many of us feel like, hey, am I on the crazy train here? You know, God is, word of comfort, listeners, God is not on the crazy train. God is not. God is above it, beyond it, over it, and redeems it. You know, that's God, not on the crazy train. I'm going to take comfort in that, by the way.
What a great way to wrap up this conversation. God is not, another apophatic statement, on the crazy train.
Yeah, or in the dumpster fire.
Or in a dumpster fire. All right, Tasha, what are we going to do next week?
Oh, everybody's going to love it. God is not nice.
Oh, my gosh. What?
Exactly. I know.
I thought he was nice.
God. We're going to talk about it next week. Maybe everyone will be not nice about it.
Maybe they will.
But
yeah.
God is not nice. We're going to talk about it next week.
That ain't the one on the list that they're not going to be nice about.
Let's build.
Anyway, all right, everybody. So sorry for the late pod this week. We will be back on schedule and focused and everything for you next week. But we wanted to make sure that we got week two of this series into your feed. So please like and subscribe to the podcast and follow First Prez and let us know if you liked this or didn't like. Well, only let us know if you liked it.
Exactly.
All right. Say goodbye, Tasha.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the One Prez Pod. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you found it. And go to onepres.org for more information about First Presbyterian Church. Until next time, peace.